Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
How was your yesterday?
Oh,
which you can't talk about.
Very interesting. I can't talk about. I'm not really supposed to tell you. I'll tell you all about it in the next show. Yeah, good fun. Nice day of filming. A typically long day. I started work at 8:30. I had to be there at 8:30 in the morning. I got up at 5:20 in the morning in order to be there at 8:30, and they used me at 2:30 in the afternoon for about 20 minutes.
Oh.
That's show business. Actually, I can say all that on the show. Actually, I just did, didn't I?
You certainly did. The skills of editing will no doubt paste it in. What did you do the rest of the time? Did you just sit and twiddle your thumbs and drink coffee?
Yes, and I was chatting about that with a couple of other people there. You can tell the people who work a lot because they're fatter. Because in the filming and TV business, you wait and you eat. All you do all day long is you sit around waiting and you partake of the usually excellent catering. So you just sit and eat all day long, and then you work for about 3 minutes, and then you sit and eat for another couple of hours. Yeah, that's show business. I mean, if you look at any interview of any actor or performer in the world of TV and theatre, well, not so much theatre, but film and television, they will tell you that they spend most of their day waiting. It's sort of 90% waiting and 10% working. But the good thing is you get paid for the whole thing, so there you go.
Yeah, right. Which is probably why things cost so much to watch on streaming and stuff. Because everyone's being paid for doing bugger all.
Well, do you know what? I've done this business for years, and I've never ceased to be astonished how much money one can earn. You know, every few years, I've been lucky enough, and I do mean every few years, maybe once a decade, I've been lucky enough to do a big advert and get paid something stupid like not far south of 10,000 quid for a couple of days'
Good
work.
Grief.
And I think, well, first of all, I think that's ridiculous and it shouldn't be like that. But secondly, I ain't complaining. I'll have it. Thank you very much.
But it
does seem to be just off the scale, the way that, for instance, you go to a film set and you look at all the lighting people and the sound people and the gaffers and everyone working just as hard as everyone else, and you're working less hard because you're sitting around all day eating and getting fat and waiting, and yet you're earning about 10 times as much money as they are. It
How
really
ridiculous.
Isn't fair, but I'm not going to argue against it.
And I suppose the more famous you get in the circuit, the better that equation gets.
Yes, but I mean, supposing you're the go compare chap with the moustache, for instance. I mean, I have no idea. I'm saying this off the top of my head, but he's probably earning between 50 and 100,000 pounds for each one of those adverts that he does. You know, he will have started off on the wonderful sort of salary that I've made once a decade of, you know, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 pounds for a day's work. And then as he becomes known and as the adverts become popular and they want him back, his fee will go up. I mean, I remember the years and years ago, the chap who played Ronald McDonald, who did the adverts, he said, "I do a Ronald McDonald advert once a month, and that's all I do. I live on that. I don't need to do any other work."
Yeah, I suppose so. Mind you, they'll get their comeuppance soon as AI takes over and it's all created as, and we think it's a real person, but it's not.
I've spotted that already. I saw an ad the other day, and then I realised, hang on, this visual effects are so good. And then I looked at it a little more carefully, and I thought, the whole thing's AI. No wonder the visual effects are good, because it's not real at all. Yeah, all very sad and scary and frightening, and not something we want to start a show with. How are you, Ted? Enough of me.
No.
How are you?
I'm all right. Inevitably, we're going to make reference to last week's ludicrous heatwave,
which was
absolutely worse for you than it was for me. But it was still on Thursday of last week. Me and my dad were sat in the garage, which is usually the bolt hole where it's the coolest place. And we were sitting there thinking, there's no advantage to be sat in this garage anymore. It's just as hot here as anywhere else. Now, it wasn't 40 degrees, but it was certainly 34, which is, you know, 10 degrees more than the pair of us are comfortable with. But we got through it. And the night time, Thursday night, was just diabolical. I don't think I've ever experienced a night Certainly in the UK, maybe somewhere abroad, where the overnight temperature didn't drop below 25, and that was just amazing. That in the middle of the night, it's just like daytime temperature. And I was just sat outside. I didn't even bother to go to bed. I just sat outside. So how did you cope? Because it was worse there.
It was very similar. I mean, I remember one or two evenings, my mother would go to bed and I would open up all the curtains and all the windows and try and let the draft come through. And Ted's top tip, putting a fan at one end to blow the air through. I did all that. And, when the temperature had gone down from 33 to 29, I decided, all right, that's the best I'll be able to do. And I closed everything up and went to bed. When you say the temperature has come down to 29, you're just talking a completely different language, aren't you?
Exactly. And as has been commentated so many times in the media this past week or so, it's a different kind of heat. It's a moist heat, and if you go to Tunisia or something, it's just different. It's dry heat, and it just doesn't affect you in the same way, down to sweat and blah 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 and all these technicalities.
I totally agree. So, I remember in the years ago, in the days when I used to travel quite a bit, Africa is a beautiful heat. It's clean. It's dry. It's almost pleasant. It's just a bright, happy heat. Whereas you go to somewhere like Singapore, and the moment you set out of a building, you feel as if you've stepped into a sauna, and you're absolutely drenched. So, yes, I agree with you. If only we could have a different kind of heat here, it wouldn't be as unbearable as it has been, and will be again next week, I hear. There you are, just to end on a sour note. It's coming back, I believe.
Hopefully not quite as bad, they say, but I've certainly got my air conditioner ready. The furniture of the show, which is to remind everyone that whateverworks.works is our website, and we hang out in the MeWe group quite a bit, so let us know whatever works in your life and we'll scoop up stuff from there. Aidenbell.com is where you can get Aidan if you've got a few thousand pounds to employ him for a day. TedSalmon.com is where you'll get everything else. I'd just like to shout out a special thanks to Dean and Phil for keeping the Whatever Works fund topped up this month.
Thank you, guys.
Really helpful. Yeah. You can too, of course, send an Amazon gift voucher to TedSalmon@gmail.com and we will magically turn it into cash. And if you're going to Amazon, don't forget to go in via my affiliate link, which also helps, and that is tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK.
It occurred to me the other day. I of course, I still use your affiliate link, Ted. I do hope you're benefiting from pennies every time I raise money on Amazon. And it occurred to me, I can buy sex toys now, and Ted's not going to say anything.
Because they stopped me seeing what people buy.
Exactly, and I remember there were days when every time I bought something, I thought, I know Ted's going to spot this, and he's going to know it was me.
Very sad. I'll keep an eye on that to see if they ever bring it back, but at the moment they don't, so that's a bit of a shame. The other thing that happened this week, I don't know if you noticed, and it might impact you because you're a Radio 4 fan, is that the BBC turned off longwave radio. It switched off for good and gone. And to be honest, I didn't use longwave radio, not since 1975 when we were listening to the test match on 1500 metres longwave. And then it was very often sketchy and broken and waved in and out, and it was quite difficult to listen to. But it depends on where you were. But Radio 4 and the test match special was longwave, I think. Were you a fan?
I wasn't a fan of longwave, but I've always been a fan of, as you say, of Radio 4, because I'm a snob. And I remember for years listening to Radio 4 on the longwave, and then the FM was better. If you could get an FM tuner, you got much better quality, and you got the best quality in the world ever until DAB came along, and then the internet. And I did actually notice, I was aware that it was going to be switched off, and I actually asked Gemini what time, and it said at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, let me see if I can actually listen to this. Let's be romantic. Let's listen to it go off air. And of course, I couldn't find a long wave radio. I haven't got one anymore. So then I started to think, well, do I really want to listen to long wave on the internet just so I can hear the end of it? And then, of course, I forgot all about it. You know, I got distracted by something else, and before I know it, I'd forgotten all about it, and it had happened. So I failed to listen to the end of long wave. But yeah, I think it's a romantic end of an era, isn't it? Worth noting, if not listening to.
Yeah, and FM apparently is going to be next.
Yeah.
And DAB was always kind of sketchy from the start with these two standards across the world of DAB plus and all that. And
yes.
And that will go, no doubt, as well, because everyone's streaming. They're going to turn off aerials, analog TV within a couple of years now.
Yeah.
It's just all going to be everyone. You see, essential services like water and electricity for your house is going to then include a connection to the internet.
Yeah, I know, the smart world or what. Do you know, it's an interesting thing. I was just over the last few days, I've been considering that we may need to buy a new FreeSat box, because our FreeSat box is just not happy. It's turning itself off literally two or three times a day and getting very annoying, and I know that when I'm not around, my mother will have trouble coping with it. So I've been considering a new FreeSat box. I'm just wondering, should I wait? Is FreeSat going to be next for the axe, I wonder?
Yeah, it is. They're talking about chopping it all off. So, internet, smart TVs seem to be the thing that's going to survive. And forget your aerial on your roof. It's just going to come through your router.
So presumably, if like me, you want to record, I mean, I always still prefer to record programmes and watch them later at my own leisure. Not stream them, but record them. Watch them from a hard drive at home. I guess that's going to be gone. That's not going to be possible at all once streaming takes over, is it? Because you'll simply be instructed to stream it. Why would anybody want to record it when you can stream it?
I don't know, is the answer. But
well,
you
why
can
don't you
all,
know? I'm sorry, Ted.
but don't forget that you can go to YouTube and other digital services and watch on demand pretty much what you like, particularly now that the BBC have done a deal with YouTube and all their content's going to be on YouTube anyway. So that's the BBC covered.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that other services will be the same.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of watching stuff over streaming as opposed to watching it from a local hard drive, because you have considerably more control of it on a local hard drive. But I've raved about that before. Let's move
you
on
have.
From that. Yes, indeed.
Oh, by the way, you jammy bastard, another Amazon refund, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did. I don't
Marvellous,
know how I do it. I really don't. I bought a smart ring. Again, it's to do with my prepping for stuff from all my Santa work. I decided it would be very, very fun to have a smart ring that had my website on it as an NFC command, so that if somebody were to pass me their phone, I could simply wave my hand over their phone, and with Santa Christmas magic, my website would appear on their phone. And I thought, oh, let's do this with a smart ring. And I bought a smart ring, and when it arrived, it was huge. First of all, it wasn't quite big enough to fit on my finger anyway. I'd misjudged the sizing part. And secondly, it was colossal, and I thought, I don't want to wear this anyway. And I went online to send it back, because it had cost £14.90. So I thought, well, I want my money back. And I got the message I've had a number of times now. Oh, we are processing your refund. You do not have to return the ring.
It's just bizarre. I don't get why that never happens to me. I just don't understand why. Anyway, it's just a quirk of your account, I suppose.
I shop a lot. I mean, I have to say, I shop far too much on Amazon. I mean, my mother and I tend to, you know, as we've discussed on the show many times, I love shopping in shops, and I will often go on a shopping trip to try to buy something and eventually give up and come home and exasperatedly buy it on Amazon instead. You know, over the last months, even years, we've started just going straight to Amazon and not even bothering trying to buy stuff in the shops, because you know it won't be available. So I do a lot of shopping on Amazon, and I'm sure their calculation is how much I purchase against how much I send back and how good or bad a customer I am. And I presume that I'm considered a good customer that they have to keep happy. But
I suppose so. But I also used to behave that way. I don't spend nearly as much on Amazon as I used to. But 10, 15 years ago, I once told them to tell me how much I'd spent since my account opened in 2000. And this was about 2010 or something, and it was like 50 grand.
Yeah.
Because back then they had the data to share with you, and so they told me. I still got the email.
I would be terrified. I mean, really, I think it would bring on a heart attack if I learned how much I'd spent. I mean, especially over COVID. I mean, imagine the money that all of us were spending on Amazon during the COVID year. I mean, it doesn't bear thinking about, does it?
So tell me, I thought you already had a smart ring of sorts, but you thought you needed this for your Santa thing.
Yeah, I have a smart ring that is my payment ring, which I still use, and I think. I may have said on the show, I'm so pleased that now that technology has moved on, I'm able to use my smart ring without people going, oh, what was that? Did you pay with your ring? Oh, yeah. It's like Harry Potter. We've passed all that stage, thank goodness. Yeah, so I thought, well, let's have a smart ring that's got an NFC chip tag built in so that it's... opens my website on people's phones, as I said. This ring didn't work. But when they sent the ring, they sent as a free gift. So I not only got to keep the ring, I got to keep the free gift as well, which they call a smart nail clip, which is basically a little tiny NFC chip. That, I mean, they are tiny, but it's almost naked, almost nothing but the chip. And the idea is you can tuck it underneath your face false nail. So when you're wearing fake nails, you can have an NFC chip under your nail. So, you know, the glamorous lady could actually reach out her finger and tap your phone and the website would open. Oh, such magic. And it occurred to me, oh, why don't I... try and find another. If NFC tags are available in different forms, it doesn't have to be a ring. I wonder if I could sew one directly into the glove. Well, a little bit of research, and I eventually discovered NFC laundry tags, which basically, to all intents and purposes, they're buttons. I mean, they look and feel and smell and touch like a button. It's basically a large button, however, built into the button is an NFC tag. And these are apparently made for sewing into clothes. So you just sew this into any piece of clothing that you wish, as you would a button. In my case, the inside of the palm of one of my Santa gloves. And then you've got an NFC chip to hand. To hand! See what I did there? And there it is. And I've actually got them. I haven't got round to sewing it into the glove yet, but I have bought these things and they were very cheap. I mean, cheap as chips, £6.99. And I think I got 10 or 12 of them. And I only, again, because I only needed one, but never mind, I've got 12 now. So the story ends very happily. I mean, I kept the ring, I got the £14.90 back, and I paid £6.99 for 12 laundry tags, which are much better. And I have 12 of them.
So I don't know if I'm thick or if I wasn't listening properly, but what's the point of it being in your gloves?
That's probably both, Ted. The point is, when I'm when I'm liaising with the public as Santa and I want to advertise myself, I want them to be able to see my website rather than giving them a call telling them the address.
Right.
I have it built into the NFC chip. Sorry, maybe I didn't explain it properly. I know, and so I therefore assume everybody else knows what I'm talking about. So the idea is I've got the NFC chip in the palm of my hand, so when I move my hand anywhere near their phone, i.e. when I hold on to their phone, the NFC chip triggers their phone and miraculously the website on their phone opens up.
Which is why I have my NFC turned up on my phone now.
I asked Gemini and Gemini said to me that actually 90% of phones tend to have their NFC chip switched on.
They do, yeah.
Because I guess it's because people use it for payment all the time.
And Bluetooth as well. Everyone's willy-nilly. I said we would come back to... Anyway, that's great, and I'm very glad that you get free stuff from Amazon. This brings us back to... Amazon brings us back to the aforementioned air conditioning, though.
Yes.
And I'm a bit concerned because my air conditioning unit, which I think I've had for, like, about 8 years now, is just starting to show... it still works, but when I press the buttons on the top... sometimes I've got to press it twice for it to work. And I think that the number pad on the top with its buttons it might just be kind of running out. And as I say, I can make it work. When I first got it, it had a remote control, and I can't find it because I never use the remote control because I just use the buttons on the top.
Oh,
you know, I've got legs.
Yes. Well, maybe it will pay to try to replace the remote control.
Yeah, maybe that could be true. But it just gave me the feeling of, oh, shall I get a new one?
Yeah.
Shall I, eight years later, should I play it safe and get a new one? I did find one on Amazon for £320. But here's the news that... having cogitated for a couple of days and gone back now, just today I looked, and yesterday, you cannot buy one for love nor money. All of the air conditioning units are sold out right across Amazon, as far as I could see. And I've also gone to other places online, not Amazon at all, but just other places that provide air conditioning. And everyone just seems to be buying them up. I blame you.
Well, now, here's an interesting thing. Meanwhile, coincidentally, I decided that I really ought to bite the bullet and pay the money and get an air conditioner because, as we said at the beginning of the show, it's really becoming insufferable at night. So I thought, right, I'm going to do it. I've talked about it. I've talked on the show about it for two or three summers now. I'm actually going to do this. And as you say, Ted, I couldn't find an air conditioner. I started out with a conversation with Gemini, of course, to determine what would be the best air conditioner for me and what size and where I might get it. And Gemini made a recommendation and I couldn't find it. It wasn't available. So I said to Gemini, oh, this one's sold out. What's next? And we went through this two or three or four times until in the end I was saying to Gemini, can you just find an air conditioner anywhere in the country? Because as you say, Ted, there was not an air conditioner to be had for love nor money.
Yeah.
Well, God bless Gemini, because Gemini said to me, try Viking, because Viking is a big stationery warehouse and not many people know they also sell white goods. And sure enough, I got onto Viking and I found an air conditioner. It was slightly bigger than the one I wanted because I was recommended a 750 BTU and this was a 900 BTU, but I thought it's an air conditioner.
9,000.
9,000.
7,500.
Sorry,
9,000. Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Ted. Yeah. You're listening. That's good. Just checking. So I snapped it up like a hot cake. I thought, well, you know, I'd set myself a 200 quid limit, and this thing was 347. However, with coupons online, I managed to get it down to 285. And I just thought, if I don't buy this now, I'm going to regret it in 10 minutes when I come back and having dithered and it's not there anymore. So I bought it. And the irony is, it is an Igenix 9000 BTU 3-in-1 smart portable air conditioner for small rooms with a cooling fan and dehumidifier mode. It's the same as yours.
Yeah.
I didn't realise when I bought it that I was buying the same unit that you had been so pleased with for so many years and sadly, unfortunately, now seem to be having trouble with. So that was a confidence. That was a good comfort to know, because you and I were chatting privately about it, of course. And I was very, very pleased to realise that I was buying the same one that you've got. The problem is, when it arrived, gold star for Viking, because it came very quickly. It came within the earliest window they said. I think it was about 48 hours after I'd ordered it, I had it. And this was, of course, right in the middle of the heat wave, so I was so grateful to have it. I then found myself forking out another £27 for the hose extension because it comes with a hose, of course, but the layout I have at home, that hose wasn't long enough. I had to extend it, so I had to pay £27 on our favourite website for another hose. And then I found that I needed to pay another £21 for the funny window fitting thing with the material that opens up. So it was a bit pricey in the end. However, thank you, Ted, for your recommendation, because it's a bloody miracle. It is amazing. I use the timer. I have it come on at 12:30 when the cheap electricity starts, and it heats my room for an hour because I tend to wander into bed around
Heat?
What am I talking about? Thank you, sir. You really are listening. It cools down my room for an hour. I wander in at 1:30 and it's beautifully cool. And having had this thing, I'm sure we all have, of waking up in the middle of the night in a hot sweat because it's so bloody hot, I actually determined that 5:20 would be a good time to set it to come on for a 20-minute boost. So at 5:20, I am woken up by the most almighty great... But never mind. It only takes 20 minutes and goes off again and keeps the room beautifully cool. So I thank you for the recommendation many times over the years, and I thank the universe that I found the last remaining air conditioner in the country and snapped it up.
Yeah. I really hope mine keeps going, because I'm going to be, if I have to face another one of those without an air conditioner, I'm going to be, in actual fact, being in a static van, as you know I am, it puts it under a great deal of load because of these 1 millimetre aluminium walls in a static van. It's not like the same, even a wooden house yours, let alone bricks and mortar. But during that day I put it on and it was really struggling to get down from 34 to 32, about.
Yeah.
If you sit in the flow of the air, just sit in front of it, that's all right.
Yes.
But when it gets to those extremes, in my situation, you can't get the room cool. But it's really, really good at night. That's the benefit.
Yeah, and I'm very lucky. I mean, my room is very small. My room is about 3 metres by 2 metres by 2 metres. So it doesn't have a large place to have to fill, so I'm lucky in that respect.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted. Carry on.
No, that's all really. You've just got to play the game. Yeah. Even that night when it was 25 in the night, I didn't even bother putting it on because I thought, well, I'll just sit outside at this stage.
Yes.
But I could have done. And I reckon that if I put it on at 25, it would have got it down to about 22 or something.
Yes.
There comes a point where it's just not worth bothering if you're not in a bricks and mortar house,
yes,
but, or a wooden house.
That's such a shame, Ted. But what is your general regime? I mean, I've said mine is to heat it for an hour before bed and then have a 20-minute boost during the night. What do you have a regular regime, or do you just turn it on when you're desperate?
I just turn it on when I get settled for the evening in front of the telly. So about 11 o'clock, I turn it on, and I just leave it on the high setting. Mm-hmm. I shut the bedroom door, and then when I come to go to bed, you typically about 1 o'clock, so 2 hours later, I turn it down to the low setting because by then it's cooled down the room, and I leave it on. See, I'm not like you. I don't care about the noise. I'll sleep through anything.
Oh no! I can't stand the noise.
No, so the fact that this thing is making a noise is it doesn't matter to me.
Yes.
And then I wake up during the night and I think, oh, this is lovely. In fact, I put a jumper on now.
And you know what? Unusually for Aidan Bell, I'm actually happy, very pleased to have the phone connectivity. You know, it Bluetooths to the phone, or Wi-Fi's to the phone, I think. So I've got the whole set up in the phone. I can control it from the phone. I can have the timers set up via the phone. And in this case, I'm very pleased with that.
Oh, right. Well, that's not the same as mine, then. It's obviously an updated model, isn't it? But same kind of name.
That's weird, because yours is a 999, is a 9901. Mine is just a 9900. So I had assumed that yours was actually one up on mine. But there you go.
No, because mine is 8 years old, you see. And so yours is a... Oh, it doesn't give the model number. Oh, yes, it does. No, it doesn't.
I tell you what, we'll have to keep in touch with this off-air, Ted, because I tell you what we might be able to do. I do use the remote. Sometimes I wake up in the night and I lean across and turn it on and off with my remote. But I could live without that. If the remote works for you, if yours is about to kick the bucket, but for the remote, you might want to at least long-term borrow my remote for a while to keep yours going. We'll have to look into that.
OK. Yeah, we'll chat about it off-air. But in the meantime, we're heading back to America.
I think we should. It's halfway through the show. I think we'd better get on with it, hadn't we? Yes. Oh, great thanks to Elizabeth Everly, lovely Elizabeth Everly, who sent me some pictures of her pond. A lot quicker than it took me to send her pictures of mine, I should add. Elizabeth says, our pond is in, Aidan. We have a lot more planting to do to help it settle into its surroundings and encourage the wildlife, but we are so pleased with it. And she's of course sent some pictures through, which are lovely because her pond is... built into a patio, built into a stone floor, whereas mine is built into the grass in the garden. And I think it's beautiful. The way they've done it is really lovely. I don't mean this to come out the wrong way or sound wrong, but it's a sort of hole full of water in their patio. That makes it sound awful. That's not what I mean at all.
Yeah,
but it's
nice.
It's a pond within the patio, and it really does work very well. She says it's much better than the rusty old fire pit we pulled out of the centre of this little patio. We've even had our first amphibious visitor. And indeed, the third of her three pictures shows... Well, I assume it's a frog or a toad, but it's American, and I don't recognise it. I certainly don't recognise it in terms of the frogs that we have in our pond. But she has a very slightly scary-looking frog-stroke-toad in her third picture. And I did point out, I responded, of course, to Elizabeth, and I said, you will be amazed. I mean, certainly in England, you only have to put a bucket of water in your garden and 10 minutes later there'll be a frog in it. It's incredible how water attracts the wildlife. So I'm sure Elizabeth and family are enjoying watching all the various creatures of the world that are gathering around her pond. I'm stumbling. Take over.
I was just going to say, in that first picture, I love the way in which the stones have been put,
yes.
You know, going down into it around the sides. It looks really neat and nice there. As long as the water stays clear. Really nice. Well done, Elizabeth. Good job.
Keep us posted.
Yes, indeed. Right, next up is Chris Kelly's love, which is the AeroPress. I noticed this week that the AeroPress have released an XL version, the bigger bugger, and it was in the sale last week, reduced from £70 to £46. Don't know if it still is. And I mentioned this in the group, and of course, Chris went and got one, which was not a surprise at all. Our king of coffee, the whatever works king of coffee, he got one, and he's put a picture in the post as well of it working and done and dusted, and he's got coffee made in it, and it does look really nice. But as you might expect, it just looks like a bigger version of the AeroPress, so it's not really anything surprising or different, just a bigger version. So I'm glad you're happy, Chris.
As am I. I've never, never used AeroPress, never drunk from AeroPress, so I cannot comment. But yes, I mean, there's nothing against more coffee, I'll say that. By the way, yesterday where I worked, they had I can't tell you where I was, there was a subsidised cafe, a large latte, £1.50. I thought I'd like to work here. Yeah, it was like being back in 2000 again. £1.50 for a large latte. And proper baristed latte at that. None of your press or button on a machine nonsense.
Cool. Very, very good indeed. Right, I got a nose trimmer this week. Hair trimmer thingy. And ear and whatever else trimmer. And it was reduced in the sale from £17 to £11. Now, you may remember the old one, which I covered on the show ages ago, was slowing down. And I thought, every time I turned it on, it was just like it was struggling to get up to speed. And I thought, yeah, it's Chinese rubbish. So I decided to get a new one. So I went into our favourite shop and I found this thing. And it's a Philips one, an NT3650. And it's really good. You can see the quality difference between the cheapo crapo one, which has worked okay for a few years, but nothing like this. And it's got all these little attachments as well. And there's one that you're supposed to do with your eyebrows with. And I went in to do this without kind of checking it all out properly. And I virtually removed my eyebrows with this. Then I discovered in the box it had these two other length trimmer thingies. And I thought, yeah, that's okay. I'll have that one. There is a second one you can get, which is £18, which has got some other attachments as well, which are supposed to be, I think, a beard trimmer or something else. And there's a bag you can put it in and all those sorts of things. But, yeah, I just wanted to say that this Philips one, sometimes you do get what you pay for over a cheap Chinese one, and it's much, much better.
Well, I can only agree, Ted, because I've got one too. Trimmer was brought onto the show by Jim Fowle back in 2023, I think. This very one.
No.
As a result of which, I bought one. And I can certainly concur with you. It's a still using for me. Do you know, I never dared with the eyebrows. I actually have just... It's going back to the free Amazon. You're not going to like to hear this. But from time to time, I wander into a hairdresser and I say, a strange request. Could you just cut my eyebrows? I don't need a haircut. I just need my eyebrows trimmed. And without fail, they will trim the eyebrows and then say, no, you don't owe us anything. That's all right. Have a nice day. So I tend to do that for my... I wouldn't dare. I've got the two eyebrow attachments and I've never dared to use them. But so good on you, even though you nearly removed... When you removed one, did you think, well, I better remove the other one then to match? Or have you got one longer than the other?
No. I just carried on then. I mean, I don't care what I look like, but it's not like I'm working and needing to show my face anywhere. But what's impressive here is that you, and not me, for the first time ever, probably, you became the whatever work archivist. you found this item from before.
Okay.
I'm just shocked.
Well, thank you. I found it because I was specifically looking for it, because when I read your entry about this fit, I thought, I know this trimmer. Oh, it's the same as mine. Well, I remember that I got mine because somebody brought it onto the show. I didn't remember offhand that Jim Fell brought it on in 2023, but I then went onto the show notes and had a look, and indeed, that was the history. So we both have to say grateful thanks to Jim Fell, because if he hadn't brought it onto the show,
definitely.
We would... Well, you'd have better eyebrows, but we both have hair falling out of our nose by now.
Absolutely. This is a multi-entry for whatever works, because it's a still using for you, it's a gold star for Jim and me and you, and it's almost at 11 quid, a cheap as chips for the judge.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, I tell you what, a world first on whatever works. One item, three jingles. Here we go. Okay, that's
excellent.
Sort of, it didn't work, but it was a lot of fun. Okay.
Right, next up is a very quick one. Glow-in-the-dark portable urinal for men with a screw-on lid, not the men. Not that the urinal's got a screw-on lid, not the men. Anyway, poor old dad, they've told him he's got to take these water tablets, and so he's just going to for a wee every 2.5 minutes. I do feel sorry for him, but he's got these feet that are kind of expanding, and they've said, you've got to have water tablets. Anyway, he used to carry this milk bottle with him in the car or when he's travelling at all, and the reason he wanted a big milk bottle was because he said that the opening at the top is much bigger. I guess he must have a big cock. And he wanted the bigger... Anyway, this thing that I found on Amazon, he's absolutely delighted with. It costs $12.99, and it's made for the job thing. It's made of really solid plastic. The screw-on lid is really tight and everything else. And in that screw-on lid, there's some sort of, I don't know, luminous thing. And so we did test it out. If you leave it in the sun for a while and then go into a dark place, you can see it glowing slightly, which means you can find it in the night, I suppose.
Right.
But that's... anyway, this thing, just going back to what you were saying earlier about Amazon, this thing arrived with the tag that is supposed to hold the lid from being lost around the neck. So it's a little bit of plastic.
Oh, yes, yes.
And that was broken.
Ah.
And I wrote to Amazon and I said to them, I thought to myself, I'll get a free one here and they'll tell me to keep this one, just like Aiden.
Yeah.
And I wrote to them and told them and complained. Not a titter. Not even a reply. Nothing. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not important. But I just thought I'd have a go.
I have the Amazon Touch, don't I? This looks great, Ted. And I'm sorry for your father for the situation, but pleased that he's got something that works for him. I still keep in the car and have used on occasion, as you know, these sort of gel pack things where you sort of
a
bit like a sick bag with gel in the bottom, and you pee into it, and the whole thing turns to gel immediately. But yeah, this is a very good solution for your father. I'm glad it works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Still using and still using.
Ah, a proper jingle.
I'm still using my ice pop molds. I don't know if you remember these.
Oh, I do. Whatever works. About these before. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, whatever works. 139 June 21. I think that must have been during COVID, wasn't it? 20. Yeah, I think it was. Anyway, these things are plastic kind of tube thingies, and you fill them up with whatever you want to fill them up with, and then at the top of each one of them they've got a zipper thingy, the same as what you would expect to get if you bought a bag of cheese or something.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Grated cheese, and you zip this thing up, and it is totally watertight, and then you can shake it and put it upside down, stick it in the freezer, and then when it's frozen you get an ice pop like in 1975. And they're great. I completely forgotten I had these. I found them in the drawer. It cost £8.99 for 120 of them. So clearly I didn't use 120. I used less, and there were some left. And I took them out. Now you can, if you're being really, really eco friendly. You can, if you're careful, once it's frozen, unzip that zipper and reuse them. But you're not supposed to. They're just supposed to be disposable, because there's even a tear point where you rip the top off when you get it out of the freezer. But if you're careful, you can do it. I have succeeded once or twice. But yes, that's my still using the ice pop molds. And last week, as you'd imagine, they were just great.
I'm surprised that you had forgotten about and neglected them, because I do remember you really, really ranting very enthusiastically about them, as you have just now. So I'm glad you've rediscovered your joy of ice pop molds.
Yeah.
I tell you what I'm still using, and weirdly, talk about being the archivist, I couldn't find this. I know for a fact I talked about this on the show, but could I find it in the archives? No. It's a product I didn't buy on Amazon. I bought mine on eBay, new, for £165. What did I pay 165 quid on eBay, you're asking? Well, it was an Oral-B IO Series 9 electric toothbrush, black onyx. I do remember that there was quite a bit of discussion. I think some people were selling some of these. Somebody was selling one of these on the phone show. Forgive me, I forget the name of the marketplace.
Classified,
thank you, sir. And I think that sparked my interest, and I started researching toothbrushes, because I haven't got a life. And I eventually purchased this one, with which I am extremely happy. It was classic Aidan Bell. I mean, you know, the Series 9, yes, you're right. I think there is a Series 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, possibly all the way down to 1. God knows what the difference is between them all. I didn't really need to spend that much money, but, you know, Aidan Bell, he has to show off and buy the best. Having said that, it's a very good, efficient toothbrush. It lives on its charger, but even when I've taken it on holiday for some days, it's never let me down. It's never run out of charge. It works fine. Yes, it does have an app, and it does have Bluetooth, and it does talk to your phone. And no, I never have. It's a toothbrush. I'm very pleased to be able to connect, for instance, my lovely new air conditioner unit to my phone, because the functionality is useful and it achieves things that I couldn't achieve otherwise. I cannot imagine why I would want my toothbrush to talk to my phone. Is it so I can keep a record of how many seconds I brushed my teeth on each day and how hard I pressed? Who cares? As long as I don't have to go to the dentist, I'm happy. So I kind of wasted some money, because I probably could have made do with a lesser version. But the Series 9 electric toothbrush, Oral-B Series 9 toothbrush from the IO series, I like very much indeed. I looked on Amazon, and the prices, it's weird. There's all sorts of prices. It seems to go from 199 to another one that's 800 quid. So I really can't quite work out the pricing. And as I say, in retrospect, I could have paid a lot less. But nevertheless, it was some years ago now. I didn't actually make a note of when it was. But it was at least 2 or 3 years, I think, by now. And it's serving me well. And I see no need to replace it in the near future either. So perhaps it was a good purchase after all. Maybe you do get what you pay for.
Excellent. I went to the hygienist last week and they couldn't touch me, and because every time they tried to do anything to clean my teeth, I was leaping on the ceiling because it was so sensitive. So they sent me away in the end and didn't charge me.
What?
I said, don't you want me to pay? No, you were only in the chair for 10 minutes. So
my hygienist, I have similarly, I find it very painful. My hygienist has me swill round an anaesthetic solution. The first thing I do is I swill.
Yeah, they tried that.
It didn't work either.
They tried that. And they tried the gel stuff as well. They tried all sorts. But anyway, what they've done is they've rebooked me in, and they're going to inject me so that I'm numb and then do it like that. It all seems a bit over the top, to be honest.
They're going to bring in an anaesthetist from the local hospital, and they're going to knock you out completely. You'll wake up later.
Just to get rid of a few bits of plaque.
Oh, dear, dear, dear.
Never mind. A couple of things for Judge Barton's cheapest chips. The first one is that my dad's sofa collapsed under me. Now, I know I'm a heavy bugger, but I was sitting on it and I heard this boing. Sure enough, I turned it upside down. I said to my dad, do you want me to investigate this? Because I'll have to ruin the fabric on the bottom. So I cut it open, and sure enough, there's these two springs in there. Both of them have been broken. I said to him, look, we'll go on to Gemma and we'll get her to tell us who we can get to come and fix it. So we did that, and he phoned them up about six times, and they promised to come round and do it and sort it out. Never turned up. They're just hopeless, these tradespeople up here. Anyway, in the end, I said to my dad, right, let's see if we can buy them ourselves, because it can't be that difficult to do. So, sure enough, I went to Amazon, and there's this kind of sub shop called Pandora's Upholstery, and they're called Replacement Zigzag Springs. You do have to measure the spring you've got to get the right size, because they're all different sizes. But sure enough, they arrived. They cost £9.59 for two, which was handy because the two were broken. And I turned it upside down again, and I had to kind of heave and hoe and stretch it a bit. But yeah, it was fairly simple to do. And I thought, yeah, we are, well, you'll identify with this because you're the Heath Robinson thing, but we are being encouraged by the likes of Amazon and the stock they keep to just do stuff ourselves,
mm-hmm.
aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I think that's brilliant. That's the route I would have taken, Ted. Excellent. Do you know, I've got to interject and say, I do remember, you've reminded me, something I'll never forget. In my old car, I have a new car, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned it. My previous car, my Volvo XC60, the spring went. I got into the car with my friend James, who is small but quite fat. And he got in, and when he sat down, it went bang! It was like a gun going up. We were both absolutely white. We thought the world was coming to an end. And the spring had gone underneath my car. And, of course, we to this day, we joke about how fat James got in the car and broke the spring. But I mean, I just thought of that because you said yours went with a sort of boying when you sat down. Well, that was lucky, because you don't want to be in a car when the spring goes. That's a totally different sound. Sorry, that's got nothing to do with anything. The point is, yes, I would have done the same, and I'm very pleased that's worked for you. And presumably, as we speak, the spring is doing its job and the setting
and
super, there you go,
completely back to normal. You've got to make sure you put it on the right way around, because it bows upwards, so you obviously put the high point at the top and not at the bottom. But yeah, it just basically the two ends of it slots into the holders at each side, and it's just really easy. But, you know, a few years ago, probably we wouldn't have bothered even looking and doing that. Well, you probably would, but my family wouldn't.
Maybe I've had an influence on you then, Ted. That's good.
Easy fix. And I just realised that the second one that I just talked about, I completely forgot that I was going to get in, and I didn't. And so I'll save that for the next show.
I want one of those.
Oh, Ted, I want a dragon. it's probably the same with yourself. Who knows how you find these things? You're just playing on the web and they appear. It's a handcrafted wooden dragon, and it calls itself an automation. It's $229, which is why I'm not buying
one. It's an automaton.
Automaton. I beg your pardon, I can't read.
Yeah.
I won't be buying one because it's over $200. But nevertheless, if you have a look at it, it's a dragon, and it's got its wings open, and it's got little rods. I can't quite remember. You're probably looking at it as we speak. I can't remember whether it's mechanical or battery driven. It's probably battery.
Yeah, mechanical.
It is mechanical.
You crank it,
and then the rods move up and down, and the wings of the dragon move up and down, and the dragon appears to fly. But it's just so beautifully done. As the wings go up, the body goes down, and then vice versa. And not only that, they've somehow managed to achieve a very graceful, rounded motion. It's not a sort of up down, up down, up down that you might get on something cheap. I can see why it's $229, because it's just beautiful, and to watch it is beautiful. And I, you know, It's one of those things. I'm in a lucky enough position that I would have $229 if I was stupid enough to spend it. So I'm glad that my self-control is still strong enough that I am not going to buy one of these, much as I really, really love this beautiful thing. I could sit and have this, sit with this on my desk watching it fly all day long. Do you like it?
It's really nice. Yeah, absolutely. I'm totally with you on this. And I need to correct myself, because in the first picture on the linked website at uleek.com, there is what looks like a handle. But if you start to look down at the other pictures, there's a motor and a battery. And clearly, I think you can probably do either. You can crank it or you can have it run itself.
Yeah. You can indeed, because there's a video which I'm now looking at where a little finger comes into the screen and presses the on button, and then off it goes with
right.
this beautiful
yeah.
fluid motion that's just so lovely. I want one.
Yeah, so do I. We'll share one.
Yeah, we'll share it.
Now, we love wooden things, and I also found a wooden thing, which is the Helia pill organiser, which is really, really nice. It's just basically the kind of pill organiser that my dad uses every day. But instead of being a cheapo plastic Chinese, you know, 50p one,
yes.
it's a really nicely made wooden one with a concertina spreading the things out. It's got petal-like radiation from the central axis. It just looks really, really nice. It costs £30, but for someone that's got everything, it'll be a really nice. It's made of cherry wood, and it's obviously, you know, been made to be safe for drugs
yes,
to go in
yes.
them. And it's just, yeah, each component door turns on a brass yeah. rivets, says the blurb, and closes with strong neodymium magnets, whatever that means. But yeah, it just looks lovely. And I think I probably will end up getting one of these for my dad for a birthday or Christmas or something, because it's just so nice.
It is lovely, and it's much easier to justify than the dragon, because, you know, if you need to take pills, then this has a practical use. It's quite funny, when you said for someone who has everything, I thought you were referring to the illnesses for which they were taking their pills. Oh, yes. Dear, someone who has everything and wants to get rid of it. Yeah, but, yeah, two beautiful wooden items. The second one is actually not only considerably cheaper, but also a lot more practical. I'm afraid if
Absolutely.
I had to choose between the two, I'd go with the pill organiser. Sorry, Dragon.
Here.
Whatever.
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 Worked. Right, very quickly, I'm going to go with the Meatery mesh zipper pouches. I was talking about zipping up my things earlier, my ice pops.
Yes.
And this is something that someone brought to show 94 in November 2019. I can't remember who it was. But, yeah, a bunch of zip bags. And I can remember on the back of this, my mother, my late mum, bought some of these, and she used them. And they're still in use. She used them to put manuals and handbooks of devices
yes,
in.
Yeah.
And they're still there. They're still there in the cupboard. Been put to very good use, so no idea how much they are, because they're not available anymore. So tough titty. Did you find?
I love bags. Mine is the Max, if you want the reference number, it's the Max MAX004S IP67 rated toolbox. It's a wee little plastic toolbox. I wouldn't really call it a toolbox. To me, it looks, I suppose it's because of the industry I've worked in, but it looks to me a lot more like a sort of film unit kind of box to do with technical people, sound and filming and lighting, etc. And indeed, I use it. It comes out actually every time we record a show, because my Zoom recorder and its various bits and pieces live comfortably in it. It's a black plastic padded box, as I say, for sound equipment or this sort of thing. It's currently £24.35, and I'm just looking at my order. If it brings it up in time, I can tell you I paid £19.90 for mine when I bought it, but I'm definitely still using it. As I say, every time we record a show, so that's topical.
Absolutely, very good. I used to have something similar, an aluminium case for all my camera gear.
Yes,
and
yes.
You kind of cut the foam out. It was great fun. I really enjoyed
it.
Yeah,
I should have said nice camera one. Case. That would have been much easier to understand.
Yeah.
Mine is quick, because it won't bother you in the slightest, because mine is WhatsApp. Voice messaging, and I know you're not a fan of voice messaging. I believe you would never send a voice message at the pain of death.
Nor
use WhatsApp. But I do it frequently. I have friends with whom I communicate almost on a daily basis with voice messaging. And WhatsApp has introduced noise reduction. I don't particularly like noise reduction at the best of times, but in this case, they've just turned it up to 11, because you know me, I'm very hyper and I'm very bubbly and I'm full of energy. And if I leave a message and go, well, that's it, Ted, talk to you soon, bye, I can guarantee that the bye will not be there, because the noise reduction will have removed it. And any time, if I'm recording and I go, you know what I did yesterday? The ha-ha will disappear, because it's just too high. It's just set too high. So I leave people messages and they begin to sound like some, you know, microphone with a broken cable. It's just very, very, very annoying.
What a load of bollocks.
You know, I remember sometime I left a message for somebody. I was at an airport and I was saying, well, you know, I'm at the airport, and as you can hear in the background, you can hear the airport and they're making an announcement. I hope you can hear me, blah, blah, blah. And when I played the message back to listen to it later, it was clean as a whistle. It was very, very effective. It was as if I'd recorded it in a soundproof studio. And I thought, I wanted the background. I was trying to say, as you can hear, I'm in an airport, and they couldn't. You know, AI and technology is getting too clever for its own boots. And that's it.
Quite so.
Oh, in unison, too. Oh, and it's me, sorry. I was so impressed. Pip Tomlinson wants to give a gold star to the Mubi Gran Sarria Cinema. Mubi Gran Sarria Cinema. It's in Barcelona. No wonder I can't say it. It's a gold star, he says, to my local cinema here in Barcelona. They show every film in English. It's clean, small, quiet, and it's only €13 for a ticket, or €6.50 on Wednesdays, which is well worth it for the experience. The staff are really nice too, and the snacks and beers are pretty cheap. I wish every cinema could be like this. I'm glad you've got a favourite cinema, Pip. I do too. I don't know if you know it, Ted. Do you know the Everyman Cinemas, Ted? They're a chain in the UK.
Yes.
And we have an Everyman in Barnet, which was, and I'm glad to say still is, a traditional old-fashioned cinema with big seats and velvet drapes. And they've actually put in, as well as the big seats, they've put in couches. And you can actually sit on a couch with cushions, and you have a little table next to you, and you can order from the bar, or they do a one-time service before the film starts, coming round and taking orders from your seat, and you can order your coffee or your drink or your popcorn or whatever it is you want. Really lovely. Yeah, so well done. I'm very pleased for you, Pip, and I share the favourite cinema experience. It's very nice to have one.
Yeah, there's one in Colwyn Bay nearer to me where it's very similar. Well, not with sofas, but it's very, very old-fashioned and nicely turned out. And I should go there more often, really. I haven't been there for years, but because I tend to, as I think I mentioned before, not go to cinemas because of this ridiculous level of noise. And I end up going there with my ears full of cotton wool so I can not be blown away with the bloody noise. But anyway.
That's why you remember it as a Victorian cinema, because the last time you went was 1840.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, good one, Pip. Well done. The Mubi Gran Sarria Cinema in Barcelona.
Barcelona. So, yeah.
Thank you so much for chipping in with that. And thank you to everyone who takes the time to join us in the MeWe group, where we scoop up stuff for the show, which we have done today. Whateverworks.works is our website. AidenBell.com is where Aidan can be found. And TedSalmon.com is where you can find me and all the links to all of our other MeWe groups, all of our audio podcasts and everything, and find out whatever you want about everything in the whole world. So I shall leave you, as always, to give us some last word or pearl of wisdom.
Do you know what? I don't have a pearl of wisdom today, except to say that not having a pearl of wisdom is a good thing. I am relaxed. That was a lot of fun today. It's only 25 degrees in my studio as I sit here shirtless, actually a tiny bit glad that we finished because I can go outside and cool down. But no, it was a fun, relaxed show today, and that's the way the world should be. So have a fun, relaxed few weeks, or however many it turns out to be, and see you next time, everybody.
Yes, indeed. Thank you all for listening. And as always, one last thing to say. Don't forget, whatever works, works!
Perfectly, perfectly together. Synchronous.